From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, October the 18th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, one heck of a nice guy, and the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes. And since it is Friday, let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Come on. Sing it loud, sing it proud. Love this. Truly the sweetest sound this side of heaven. Let's get things started officially with
the Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, there are no substitutes for fresh air, sunshine, and exercise. Of course, yeah. With perhaps the possible exception of a good bacon cheeseburger. That's pretty hard to beat.
And the hits just keep on coming.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
That's big stuff.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Oh, boy.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yeah, all right.
You might be quizzed.
Oh, we know that's not going to happen. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1922 the British Broadcasting Corporation was founded by a consortium to establish a nationwide network of radio transmitters to provide a national broadcasting service. They say here the BBC was founded. I had no idea it had ever been lost. And it was on this day in 1954 Texas Instruments announced the Regency TR-1. Which was actually the first mass-produced transistor radio. And if you cruise enough garage sales, you might actually find one. I had a small transistor radio that I'd sneak into school. I'd sit in class with the earphone threaded inside my shirt and out and around the back of my ear. Problem was, I'd tap my foot to the music and the teacher would bust me.
And the hits just keep on coming.
When it comes to the aftermath of Hurricane Helene, and the effect that it's had on North Carolina, we see a couple of videos, just scatterings of videos through the mainstream media, and that's it. But we're not hearing anything about the real aftermath. What about the rescue efforts? What about the rehousing efforts? And apparently, the mess up there is so bad that even FEMA, the FEMA industrial complex, can't handle it. And then, of course, there's the issue of the money. I mean, the tragedy and chaos in place right now in North Carolina in the aftermath. Well, it's bad enough that people lost their lives, their homes, their possessions. You've got injured people, scores of them, displaced and distraught. But now they're also dealing with a lack of rescue and restoration attempts from the Democrats in Washington. Now, yes, it's true that FEMA is broke. Why? Because the Biden and Harris regime is sending all U.S. resources and money to Ukraine and Israel and funding the mass illegal immigration of criminals and terrorists through our southern border. This is all common knowledge. But now it's coming to light that the U.S. government is seizing all the property that they've closed down from the storm so that they can bring in massive crews to mine for lithium, because that's a main component of electric cars. You know, huge part of the Green New Deal scam. Oh, yeah, this is all true. Widespread flooding in North Carolina has caused massive evacuations for homes and businesses, naturally, with FEMA shutting off entire areas while they prevent life-saving resources from getting to storm victims who survived and are in desperate need of first aid, food, drinkable water, safe lodging. Now, the flooding is substantial from Cherokee Country across to Mecklenburg County and Buncombe County and Asheville. These are the areas worst hit by Helene. Let me say among the worst. Okay, because the area is much larger than just that. And the U.S. government couldn't care less. Their main prerogative is mining for lithium, while they have access to the rich land under the flooded areas. And the goal is to confiscate that land permanently from North Carolinians under emergency seizure mandates. Now, this lithium is then going to be used in U.S. battery supply chains to push for all Americans to surrender their gas-powered vehicles and diesel-powered farm equipment for electric everything, which would most likely all collapse under communist rule. Does this sound like an overstatement? Well, it's a warning. It's certainly that. It's certainly a warning. I mean, a scam like this won't go very far, for sure, but the attempt is being made right now, and it'll continue until they're caught. Make no mistake, contracts have been ratified. And this domestic lithium mining expedition in North Carolina is heavily vested and rooted in corruption. But then again, so is the entire Democrat Party. I'll give you for example. There's a $90 million agreement listed under the Defense Production Act, the DPA, utilizing funds from the Inflation Reduction Act that supports the reopening of Kings Mountain. That's Kings Mountain, North Carolina lithium mine, to increase production of lithium for the nation's battery supply chain. Now, you know that we have to be looking for lithium domestically because before long, our trade relations with China are going to be kaput. Now, bloggers, influencers, and victims of North Carolina flooding are all over social media, including on X, thank goodness, posting about how their land is getting confiscated by FEMA. And they're being denied vital survival supplies that FEMA's capturing and storing somewhere else. For example, and this just hit the fanny of the day, in Chimney Rock, where the government has informed citizens that their town will not be rebuilt. And this is all part of the U.S. government's industrial base policy and DOD policies, as they claim it's all for the greater good, as conduction of geoeconomic purposes. The common good. The greater good. Your socialism is here now. Another gleaming example would be the Piedmont Lithium Project. It's Australia-based. It's a chemical plant complex that's scoping mineral resources in North Carolina while millions of people are suffering, some dying, from the storm carnage and massive flooding from rain. The project is expected to mine and produce over 22,000 tons of battery-grade lithium hydroxide per year, not too far away from Asheville and some of the hardest-hit areas from Hurricane Helene. So FEMA, DOD, and the Department of Energy are buying time during the emergency declaration post-Helene, keeping landowners from residing on and protecting their properties from the lithium squatters. Here's an important, irrelevant factoid. Approximately 97% of the core property lithium resources are 150 meters or less below the surface, and as much as 75% are within 100 meters below the surface. Now, there are websites that you can go to for further information on this. One of them is preparedness.news. You can go there for updates on real news about surviving the Democrat-led government aggression, their lies, their propaganda that come at us every day now, including cruel and unusual punishment from FEMA, the CDC, the FDA, and the EPA agencies. I mean, we've gone through COVID-19. We all remember what a cluster that was. And it's just like Ronald Reagan said, the scariest words that anyone would hear are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." I am waiting for a modern day version of the old parable of the boy who cried wolf to finally take hold over the words racism and sexism. These words have been used over and over and over again for decades, and people are getting sick and tired of them. Yeah, even people of color are getting tired of that old cry of racism. Well, just like clockwork, The View co-host Sonny Hostin accused Fox News of racism and sexism as liberal media personalities everywhere entered damage control mode Wednesday, immediately following Kamala's disastrous interview with Bret Baier. I mean, that was a complete cluster. Now, Sonny joined MSNBC, of course, to discuss the interview. It was very widely watched, believe me. And it may have completely sunk Kamala's campaign. But MSNBC's Ari Melber had his little program on there, and he began by praising Harris for that long-winded, vague statement on former President Trump's rhetoric, which Hostin immediately referred to as misinformation. And she said, "I watched the entire interview in the green room. I had the pleasure of doing that. And what I saw is someone who loves this country, who's competent, who's fit to be the president of the United States, who's in complete command of the facts and understands the stakes and that our democracy is truly at stake." And I have to wonder, does she really believe that? Do these people who say this over and over again, "Our democracy is at stake," do they really believe this? Or are they just scared? And then elsewhere in the statement, in the segment, Hostin further praised Harris for going into enemy territory and sitting down with Fox News. She says, "I think that she did that because they're a group of people that have been fed over and over again misinformation and disinformation on Fox News. I mean, you have a court, you have a judge saying that it's entertainment and not facts and not news." And then she referred to herself as a journalist. Boy, there's a laugh. Went on to accuse Fox News of racism and sexism for asking the vice president tough questions. And then she says, "You know, I saw a little bit of the panel after the interview, and one woman said that she came in hot and also said that she became angrier. I thought she came in hot, and what I'm very tired of is this trope of the angry black woman. She was not angry. She was in command of the facts. She was passionate." Well, if she wasn't angry, I'll tell you this, she's also not black. But that's an argument for another time. And then she says, Sonny Hostin, boy, what a bozo. She says, "Passion does not equal anger. You know, I'm often called, you know, Donald Trump actually called me dumb at a rally recently. You have these tropes that are used against women and women of color in particular. And I didn't see a dumb woman. I didn't see an angry woman. I saw a woman who understands what's at stake. And I thought that she was very, very strong." Really? What were you smoking? The woman I saw, and I'm sure the woman you saw in that interview with Bret Baier, was scared. I mean, she was in pure, full, scared deer in the headlights mode. And her word salad was even worse. And the thing is, Bret Baier is too smart for that. Nobody at Fox was going to let her get away with word salad. It's official. Elon Musk is now a GOP mega donor. He just made a huge donation to a political organization aligned with Donald Trump, officially making him a Republican mega donor. He gave $75 million to a super PAC that he set up over the past 3 months, according to election-related financial disclosures. Now, America PAC, which aims to mobilize voters in closely contested states that could determine the election outcome, spent approximately $72 million during the July-September period, according to disclosures filed with the Federal Election Commission. Now, this amount surpasses that of any other pro-Trump super PAC focused on voter turnout. Now, the Trump campaign heavily relies on outside groups for voter canvassing, which means the super PAC founded by Musk, the world's richest man, plays a significant role in the tightly contested election between Trump and Democrat nominee Vice President Kamala Harris. Now, Musk, who of course is the CEO of Tesla, was the only donor to the group during that period. Although Musk has stated that he's voted for Democratic presidential candidates in the past, he's made a notable shift to the right in this election cycle. And he endorsed Trump in July. That was back in July already, and joined him at a rally in Pennsylvania earlier this month. That was the rally in Butler, PA, you know, where the July 13th assassination attempt happened. Now, on Wednesday, Musk announced in a post on X, which he owns, that he was going to be giving a series of talks across Pennsylvania just under 2 weeks after his appearance with Trump in Pennsylvania. That is going to happen this weekend. I think he's already done a couple of those. If not, he's doing a couple today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And I think he's also going to do one on Monday, and that's it. But he has a particular interest in Pennsylvania for some reason. Would love to know the story behind that. He mentioned that people only need to sign a petition on his America PAC website to attend his talks. And last week, Reuters reported, citing a source, that Musk plans to ramp up his campaigning for Trump in Pennsylvania, which is viewed as a critical state, of course, for both Trump and Harris in the race for the White House. And right now, it's looking like Pennsylvania may go to Trump. Now, Musk's contributions to America PAC elevate him to the ranks of Republican mega donors. And that's a group that also includes banking heir Timothy Mellon and casino billionaire Miriam Adelson. But Reuters revealed earlier this month that Musk had been secretly funding a conservative political group for years, long before his public support for Trump. Kind of surprising. America PAC aims to motivate Americans who support Trump but don't always vote to participate in this election cycle, employing a high-risk, labor-intensive strategy for the Trump campaign. Now, the group, which began its efforts later than other PACs in the election cycle, has faced challenges with hiring and its contractors. Since July, they had to terminate two major contractors hired to canvass neighborhoods. Now, additionally, it's been struggling to recruit door knockers in several battleground states, partly because many other canvassing groups had already staffed up by the time America PAC became operational. And that's according to half a dozen sources briefed on the matter, as reported by Reuters. Reuters is doing a better than average job than most mainstream media outlets in covering this. By the end of September, the group had approximately $4 million remaining in its funds, as indicated by the filings. And Reuters also reported that separate filings earlier on Tuesday showed that Miriam Adelson, the casino biggie, donated $95 million to another pro-Trump super PAC, Preserve America PAC, in the same period. Now, the Harris campaign and Democrats have raised substantially more money than Trump and Republicans this cycle. I find that troubling, but that's usually the case. Where they get all this money from, I have no idea, but you can pretty well bet the huge industry out there on the left coast in Hollywood is behind this big time. So, with all that money, it doesn't appear to have made a significant difference. Right here in my own neighborhood, this guy challenging Ted Cruz for Congress or for Senate, Colin Allred, he has been running probably 20 times the number of commercials Ted Cruz has run. I can sit and watch a half hour of TV and there'll be no less than four commercials in a 30-minute block for Colin Allred. Where he's getting all this money, I have no idea. But Allred, who's in Congress, wants to move over to the Senate, probably because he hates having to campaign every 2 years. And it's a tight race, but Ted Cruz is ahead. So the Democrats are spending a hell of a lot of money, lots more than the Republicans are, but they're not getting the result. A brand new poll shows that Trump is leading Harris in 5 of the 7 crucial swing states. And this is going to be crucial in deciding who wins the election, naturally. And according to an Atlas Intel survey of likely voters in battleground states, Trump leads in Pennsylvania 51 to 48.1%, and Michigan 50.6% to 47.2%. I'll tell you what's going to carry Michigan. The labor unions. Big time. I mean, because Michigan, although Michigan is getting a little bit better, it's still the quintessential Rust Belt state. Now, Trump is also on a narrow lead in the states that are in doubt, okay? Arizona, 49.8% to 48.6%. Georgia, 49.6% to 49%. And Wisconsin, 49.7% to 48.2%. I think he's going to end up with Wisconsin. I think he's also going to end up with Georgia. Now, again, this information was provided by an outfit called Atlas Intel. In Nevada, 50.5% to 47.7%, Trump in the lead. And North Carolina, 50.5% to 48.1%. I'm sorry, that's Harris. Wow. Yeah, Harris is in the lead in Nevada and North Carolina. That may change, too. North Carolina might change because of what's happening right now, what I just spoke of in the wake of Hurricane Helene. Interesting little footnote here. 538 voters chose Atlas Intel as the most reliable polling organization for the 2020 presidential contest. So if Trump takes the 5 battleground states that he presently leads in, with Harris at 248 Electoral College votes, Trump would win the 2024 election with 290 Electoral College votes. In an interesting move that I didn't expect, the RNC is suing the city of Detroit for the deletion of ballot drop box surveillance footage. Yeah, the RNC requested the footage through a FOIA request for August 7th and 8th. Apparently, Lara Trump, as co-chair of the RNC, is really getting some important stuff done. Busy lady. The RNC was told September 16th that the footage was automatically deleted because it was after 30 days. And I believe that. That's usually the way it's done. Now, according to the outfit Just the News, they said the Republican National Committee on Wednesday sued the city of Detroit over its deletion of ballot drop box surveillance footage, despite the committee's Freedom of Information Act request. Now, the committee submitted the FOIA request in August after it was alerted of a possible election security concern during the primaries. Now, the request asked for footage from August 7th and 8th. The city on August 21st said it would turn over the footage, but asked for an extension to secure it, whatever that means. The city then alerted the RNC on September 16th that the footage was automatically deleted because it was after 30 days. Gee, how convenient. So the RNC claimed the deletion is a clear violation of FOIA, because it had a legal responsibility to protect the footage while processing the records request. All right, so here's the official press release. Today, the RNC sued the City of Detroit Department of Elections for deleting Dropbox surveillance footage after we had requested it, violating the Freedom of Information Act and raising serious election integrity alarms. RNC Chairman Michael Watley stated, "Deleting Dropbox surveillance footage while there is a pending FOIA request for it is an assault on transparency. This breach of trust is exactly what reduces confidence in our elections. We will hold Detroit accountable, as this secrecy has no place in a fair and secure election. Michiganders deserve far better." And I find this interesting because it's always the left, it's always the Democrats pointing their fingers at our side, saying that we are a threat to democracy when you have crap like this going on. So here's some background. And this is according to the press release. On August 20th, 2024, we submitted a FOIA request for Dropbox video surveillance footage after being alerted to a potential election integrity concern during the primary election. We requested the footage from August 7th and 8th to verify the situation. Detroit immediately acknowledged our request on August 21st and asked for an extension to produce the footage. Then on September 16th, we received a response letting us know that the footage was automatically deleted after 30 days. Deleting footage that is the subject of a pending FOIA request submitted more than 2 weeks before the footage was deleted is a clear violation of FOIA. Detroit had a clear legal obligation to preserve and provide the footage, which they violated. We are suing to hold the city accountable for its failure to maintain Dropbox footage while FOIA requests are pending, and to ensure this doesn't happen for the general election. President Trump's election integrity operation is combating these continuous acts of election interference. We are dedicated to securing a fair and transparent election. Well, there you go. I mean, are you surprised by any of this? And it's not just that it's Detroit. It's the double whammy. It's Detroit and it's Democrats. Nothing but corruption. It is part of their core culture up there. Detroit has traditionally been one of the most corrupt cities in the nation, right alongside Chicago. But the difference between Detroit and Chicago is, for some reason, corruption seems to work in Chicago, or at least it used to. And in Detroit, not so much. So it's going to be interesting to watch this, because I don't know if you ever saw that film that Mike Lindell, you know, the pillow guy, produced right after the 2020 election. That seems to be where the election was clearly stolen, at these ballot drop boxes. Let's get this weekend officially started by going over to the Comedy Corner and Michael Joyner.
You guys got the 24-hour Walmart? Got that right over here? Got that. We got a new one by our house, 24-hour Walmart. Thank God for that. I don't know how many times I woke up at 3 a.m. going, I need some underwear and a cantaloupe right now. Every time I walk in there, I think, could we get a few more lights in here, possibly? The place is bright. People go, where'd you get your tan? Walmart. I do 20 minutes a week in the shampoo section. The place is huge, too. I saw people hitchhiking. Anybody going with the vitamins? Anybody? I got my glasses at Walmart. They have an optometry section at Walmart. You can get glasses there and everything. Took the eye exam. You guys have probably done that, the eye exam. That's pretty foolproof. It's like, okay, Mike, cover your right eye, read the top line. O-A-C-D. Okay, cover your left eye, read the same line. The O-A-C-D line, you remember read that one? W-K-L-M? I was glad to see you guys got a dollar store up the street, because it's my anniversary today, so I had to get a few things. I got her a couple things, settled down. I'm such a sucker for that dollar store. I don't know why we shop there, trying to save money. Last summer, I bought this gigantic can of ant spray, used the entire can trying to kill 9 ants. The only ones that died were the ones that couldn't swim. So I'm at this dollar store today. I'm not kidding. I was over there getting some other stuff. And I got all these items. And the cashier is, like, scanning stuff at the dollar store. One item won't go through. She keeps trying it. I'm thinking, if she calls for a price check, I'm going to punch her. She keeps trying it. Finally, I'm like, pretty sure it's a dollar. And the people who shop there are just as bad. How many times have you been in the dollar store with somebody going, how much is this? I'm thinking, it's the dollar store. Can you memorize that? One time I said it right to their face. I got fired, but it was worth it.
Have an awesome weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time this weekend just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?